everybody, and welcome to the 13 Club podcast. Today we're recording a post-mortem episode for you. These are kind of our mini-sodes. Sometimes they're not super-duper mini, but the intent is to have kind of a little short chunk of a spooky thing for you to listen to in between our full-size regular episodes. Today, what I brought for you guys is a follow-up. I mentioned the Yandere stabbing in our episode last week about the Sasebo slashing and the Red Room and kind of the way that media occasionally sensationalizes murderers.
Every now and then, time.
Just sometimes. Particularly in this case, I suppose we're specifically talking about two examples of it happening in Japan. But I, as a quick recap, I mentioned a, stabbing that had happened, literally, just over a year ago. Like, 1 year and a few days ago is when this stabbing happened in 2019. So I'm gonna, briefly review that case, and then actually for the heart of my postmortem topic is I found an interview, with the person who was stabbed, talking about it, pretty quick and quick and easy, I guess, so to speak. But I found it really interesting to hear from somebody who, underwent this kind of attack and this kind of publicity and is still allowed to talk about it. Yeah. So, really quickly, the case itself, like I said, on the internet, it's kind of known as the, yandere stabbing, where, a yandere is this, character from anime that is kind of a, I love you so much, I have to kill you type. Which is, not to give you guys a red flag about myself, is, one of my favorite kinds of characters, but,
I like them, too.
Do what you will with that.
Yeah.
But, so the quick version of that is that, May 23rd of 2019, a woman named Yuka Takaoka, who was 21, was arrested for allegedly using a kitchen knife to stab her boyfriend, who is a bar host at their fifth-floor residence in Shinjuku Ward. The victim, who was 20, was transported to a hospital where he remained in serious condition for quite a while. Thereafter, Takaoka became a social media sensation. Users found the situation, including Takaoka's appearance, highly compelling. On Instagram, she garnered tremendous attention as the, quote, too beautiful attempted murder suspect, unquote. Adding to the mix was news footage that showed You're jealous? I feel like shitty for saying that, but yeah, what a title. The too beautiful. Mm-hmm. And honestly, she is very pretty. If you look at pictures of her.
I haven't seen her.
She's really cute. I'm
looking her up.
After we went through to all that trouble to talk about a news media that called little girl Genki and cute and healthy, kind of, and I'm over here being she is kind of cute,
yeah,
but
she's cute,
being a hypocrite over here,
yeah,
but
I'm seeing some fan art.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of it out there. Adding to the mix was news footage that showed her flashing an evil grin beneath her large glasses in the backseat of a patrol car as she was taken from the scene.
Seeing it. Seeing it right now.
Yeah. The Fuji News Network on May 30th said that the image reflected what was truly a crime of passion, and a gruesome one at that. Officers arrived on the scene around 4 p.m. in the building's lobby. Her hands and legs were covered in blood. Quote, I did not want to go anywhere, so I sat down at the outside staircase, she reportedly said. I did not call emergency services because I intended to die after watching him die from the stabbing. In one image that emerged later, she simultaneously talks on the telephone and smokes a cigarette with her boyfriend, his abdomen sliced open, collapsed behind her atop a blood-smeared floor. The walls of the elevator were covered in blood, and the buttons for the third and fourth floors were also smeared in blood as if a bloody hand had touched them, a tenant told the network. Until the middle of May, Takaoka was employed as the manager of a so-called girls' bar, which is a type of hostess club. She had met her boyfriend in October of 2018, whose club is located in the Kabukicho Red Light District, and they began to live together on May 20th. 3 days later, he came home late, despite the fact that she was waiting for him. A source connected to the nightlife in Kabukicho told Tokyo Sports, while looking at his smartphone, she saw him in an intimate photograph with another woman. She appears to have stabbed him as he slept. In describing her motive, Takaoka initially told police, since I loved him so much, I just couldn't help it. However, her thoughts went far deeper and darker than that statement. I was sad and seeking to die, and I thought how I would like to go about it. I thought I would kill him because I thought that was how I could be with him. I thought that expressions such as, I like you, and I would like to be with you, would become a reality if we both died. Investigators retrieved a knife from the scene. It was the one thing I put in order in... It was the one thing I put in order in preparing for a new life with him, she said. After I stabbed him, he said he liked me. So, that was the real quick article on the case itself. These articles also both are coming from a website called Tokyo Reporter, which looks like...
So, kind of sketch.
It's a little bit sketch, but for like a... these, you know, we're not deep diving into these topics here.
I do, when I was just looking at the images, I do see this one thing, you might cover it, but there's, like, a notebook.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen the notebook.
It's just, like, her writing in his blood, and it just says, ski. I like.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, I love you so much, I want to kill you.
That's...
in his blood.
That's amazing. In like... That's amazing. So next I'm going to read you the article really quick. That's the interview with the victim. Let's see. A reporter writing for the website of a weekly tabloid newspaper called Shukan Post caught up with the host who was the victim in the Takaoka case and perhaps surprisingly holds no resentment towards the suspect. It appears that he was active on Twitter. I'm not sure if he's still using this Twitter account, but it's a Twitter handle of Runa, R-U-N-A underscore 000000. He tweeted, since I was stabbed in the liver, I can't drink, is one thing that he said. So here is the some more details about that. The magazine's reporter noted that the host, wearing ripped jeans and a t-shirt, appears a lot younger in person than how he presents himself in his prolific tweeting. It took 5 days for me to regain consciousness, said the host, who works at the bar Fusion by Youth in the Kabukicho Red Light District, under the stage name of Phoenix Luna. Doctors told him that his chances of survival were 20% upon arrival at the hospital, but he beat the odds. At first, I had no voice, so speaking was not possible, and I was bedridden, so I couldn't walk alone for a while, he added. I also couldn't eat after the incident, and I got quite thin. When I thought back to when I was stabbed and considered what I'd do in the future, I was unable to sleep due to anxiety and fear, and for that I've received counseling. A native of Tochigi Prefecture, the man whose stage name is Phoenix Luna, wound up in an institution as an elementary school student after the members of his family went their separate ways. He entered the construction industry upon graduation from middle school, after which he quit due to personal issues. He wound up penniless, which caused him to become homeless at one point. For the initiated, a bar host engages in pleasant conversation with female customers while serving them alcohol, usually in large quantities. Phoenix Luna begins work at 6 a.m., around the time when hostesses, a typical type of customer, finish work. He told reporters for Shukan Post that some persons described him as mentally strong for returning to the world of hosts after the stabbing, yet he actually contemplated retirement. But I had nowhere else to go other than back here, he said. With my parents not around, I grew up in an institution. Since I was out of contact with my 7 brothers and sisters, I felt like my family was actually made up of the elder hosts of the club. He added that his colleagues visited him at the hospital regularly. If you can't drink, we will drink on your behalf, one of them said. So I wanted to return. Every customer knows about the incident. Instead of hiding, I wanted to reveal everything and resume life as a host. So far, so good. On August 1st of 2019, so this past August, he tweeted that he was the 4th-ranked host at Fusion by Youth as far as sales for July, though earlier this year he reached as high as 3rd. Phoenix agreed to do the interview with Shukan Post in order to dispel some rumors that circulated after the stabbing. Among them was that he began living with Takaoka only days before the stabbing, that he was fully nude when he was shown in photographs clutched in the lobby, and that she stabbed him during sex after he received a telephone call from another customer. So that even that one where it said that he had been living with her only days before the stabbing is one that I literally just repeated, and so he's out here, like, saying that that wasn't true. First of all, I live in a dormitory provided by the club, he said, adding that he began associating with Takaoka in April when she started repeatedly coming to his club. I was invited by her to go to a cat cafe or to watch movies, he said. After that, she reserved me as her host at the club, where I was the number one host for May. Phoenix Luna said that descriptions of Takaoka as easily excitable and eccentric were off the mark. I had the impression that she was a good girl, he said. On May 23rd, the day in question, he had planned to assist Takaoka with cleaning at her residence from around noon. However, work obligations caused him to be delayed. He eventually arrived 3 hours later. However, instead of cleaning, he decided to take a bath to relax, whereupon he fell asleep. Upon exiting the water, he put on a pair of undershorts. He said that the underwear was not seen when he was collapsed in the lobby due to the angle from which the photographs were taken, but in fact, he was not nude. And the incident itself took place when he subsequently got to bed. After I got an uncomfortable feeling in my stomach, I looked and saw a knife protruding from me and a lot of blood, Phoenix Luna said. Strangely, I felt no pain, but I was shocked and frightened, so I shoved Takaoka from the bed and fled. She then chased me. I thought I was dead. Takaoka caught him after he ran out the front door, but I shook loose and got on the elevator, he said. I lost consciousness when I got to the lobby, and I don't remember anything after that. He verified the report about answering her in the affirmative when she asked after the stabbing about whether he liked her. But there is a reason for that, he said. I thought that I would die if I got stabbed anymore, and I wanted to call an ambulance. I knew she liked me, so I thought it would stop if I said that. As Takaoka was quoted earlier, she did not telephone emergency services. Instead, it was a passerby who made the call. In spite of all that transpired, Phoenix Luna does not have any ill feelings toward her. I do not hold a grudge, he said. I think there was a reason for her to stab me. It was also thanks to her that I was able to achieve the sales that I did in less than a year since I became a host. The incident also had one unexpected result. After Phoenix Luna arrived at the hospital, police sought to locate one of his blood relatives. I met my older brother and older sister for the first time in 5 years, he said. I'll be very happy to stay in touch with them in the future. When the Shukan Post reporter asked to see a scar, Phoenix Luna agreed, but added no photos. He then rolled up his shirt to reveal a mark in the shape of a cross running from the center of his chest to his belly button. And that is the, like, little interview that I found with the victim of the, like, Yandere stabbing from last summer.
It is, I really hate to say it, but it is kind of just, like, a glamorous stabbing.
Mm-hmm.
You got the host.
Yeah.
And you got the pretty cosplay girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then
who is also, like, a manager at a hostess club.
Right.
I was just going to say they're both kind of in this, like, I don't want to say seedy, but this, like, they had kind of, like, what's what people in Japan consider, like, maybe seedier professions. Yeah. And yeah. I've been to Kabukicho. I've been to the Red Light District multiple times, and it's a lot of fun. But I have, like, seen people be, like, solicited for prostitution in the street and stuff like that. It's kind of that kind of an area. Mm-hmm. It's fun, and it's a fun, cool place to be, but you gotta be safe when you go. Like, don't right. be, like, scared of it. Don't, like, go crazy. No one's gonna, like, rob you, but, like, try not to look like a target, and you'll be fine. But, yeah, there it's, like, two really good-looking people. There's kind of this, like, sexy element to it. And, of course, there's violence, so.
Well, yeah, it happened, like, literally during sex.
More or less, yeah. I mean, it seems like he wants to kind of say that that's not the case, but I feel like between the lines, that's kind of what it feels like.
Even if it wasn't sex, he was mostly naked and they were touching.
I think it's really, yeah, they were in a bed together.
Right.
So, it's
yeah, really, I don't want to glamorize it, because, like, obviously, she's in prison now, yeah?
I couldn't find a confirmation for sure that she was, but I can only assume. And I guess it seems like he's gone back to his, like, career, his previous line of work, and that, I guess, like, for better or worse, this has been a positive for him in terms of, like, financially. So
now he's famous.
Yeah.
What a way to be.
Yeah.
Also, can you imagine someone just, like, fucking stabbing you, and you're just like, I'm not mad about it.
Yeah. I, like, I I can't tell because this is something that's obviously been translated. So, like, maybe there's intonation or, like, subtlety that's lost. But I almost, the line he had about, I felt like she had a reason for doing it, makes me feel like maybe he has some kind of, like, sympathy for her. Because it seems like perhaps she was struggling with some mental issues or depression.
Perhaps, like, they were kind of into that idea.
Maybe.
The yandere thing. And maybe that was, like, kind of what their relationship was like. But then she took it too far.
Yeah, maybe. And even in some ways, the way that he describes it is peculiar. And again, this could be a translation error because it almost at times makes it seem like he almost didn't know her that well. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, she just started coming to my club and then reserved me as a host all the time, which is very different than someone being your girlfriend, which is right. What so many places reported.
Right.
But they obviously knew each other well enough that they were seemingly, like, spending personal time at each other's, like, homes and seeing each other outside of the host club, so it's kind of like...
Right.
I don't know.
It's just one of those situations where you just want to know more, but there's only so much information.
Right. Maybe it's the kind of thing that, like... I don't know that we'll hear much more about it, because nothing is ever as glamorous as when people actually die, and he survived, and people want to move on with their lives, of course. But, like, maybe, you know, in the years to come, we'll hear more about her, particularly if we ever get any information about, like, a sentencing or what kind of punishment she has to serve, if any. But,
right.
And just that was my thing. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. That was good. I liked it. I was actually, like, I had meant to go and look it up because I was curious after you told me about it.
Mm-hmm.
So mine is just, it's also Japanese, so we're still going with the Japan theme, but, this is a Reddit post from Non-Murder Mysteries, and it was originally posted on Unresolved Mysteries, and it was by Apis_Cerana, Cerana, and he says, or here, they say, "Here I am with a strange Japanese mystery, this time one which actually is relatively harmless, but nonetheless rather creepy to think about. In the 90s and the aughts in Japan, mystery shows were all the rage. They were kind of like unsolved mysteries, but many shows actually had celebrities and others go into the field to try to debunk or report on odd events and places. One of these shows was Tante Night Scoop, Detectives Night Scoop, aired in... the early 90s. The show was actually kind of broad in scope, since the premise had to do with having the public send them tips on random things that they wanted debunked. Anything from exposing scams to looking into paranormal sightings to finding lost Colonel Sanders statues that had been dumped in the river. Yes, really. It was popular for that reason, I think. It had a good range of silly, serious, and creepy topics, and a bunch of talented comedians as hosts to keep things interesting. There was one incident in particular that has perplexed and creeped out former viewers for a while, though. It seems relatively mundane, but the way in which this mystery unfolded was really unnerving. In an episode aired on March 20th of 1992, a comedian named Masa from comedy duo named Tomies was chosen to investigate a case in Osaka in the Konoike Shinden station area. The person who had asked for them to investigate had described a strange phenomenon where vinyl packing ropes in varying colors were tied onto nearby guardrails and telephone poles. They had noticed that a few had been tied towards the beginning of February, but more and more had been tied and increased so much in numbers that it was starting to become unnerving. It was odd also that nobody in the vicinity had seen anyone tying these ropes in the middle of the night or during the day. It's a relatively busy area, and Osaka is large. It's a populated and dense city, so that seemed almost impossible. Masa went and looked around and documented the numerous ropes that were tied throughout telephone poles, signage, scaffoldings, and railings. He talked to hardware and home goods stores in the area, and they mentioned that they were all out of packing ropes, and someone seemed to be buying it up, but nobody seemed to be able to say who exactly. He went on to see where else the ropes were tied. They seemed to be all clustered within the same general area of about 2 to 3 kilometers. At one point, he noticed that there was almost a trail of ropes that were tied on to parts of a gas station, which led to a back alleyway where hundreds of thousands of ropes were tied to almost every conceivable surface. Massa became visibly disturbed, and after recording the area, he turned to go back to the main road. At the end of the episode, things are left unresolved, and Massa declares that the investigation should not continue. The words, "We will not be reporting on any further information regarding this case. Thank you for understanding," were shown on the screen. And this case became the only one that was canceled before any resolution in the history of the show. The only real documentation of this episode that is left are rough transcripts, which I outlined above, some screen grabs, and the actual show had been uploaded to YouTube a few times, but all were immediately deleted, so I have not actually watched the episode. Some people who remember watching it mentioned that there's a point in the episode where Massa and the cameraman slash producer were walking around and documenting all the areas where the ropes were in, and they turned to go back the way they came. In a mere 10 minutes or so, even more ropes had been tied where they had just been. This is not part of the Wikipedia write-up, so I didn't include it above, but if true, that is some freaky stuff. Now, this is a relatively benign, if somewhat creepy, mystery. There was no crime being committed, littering at most, I would think, and nobody was hurt. However, the abrupt way in which this episode ended and the fact that the show has since not acknowledged its existence and has never touched on it again has people speculating about it for years, and there are theories about what might have happened. There are several posts on message boards about people who have supposedly lived in the area and have seen an older woman walking around and tying those ropes. But the most credible person to back that theory was Makoto Kitano, a comedian who used to be part of the show. He offhandedly mentioned in a radio show that they were unable to interview the woman who had been behind the rope tying due to her seemingly being delusional and paranoid. He said that she mentioned that she had to tie the ropes and that she couldn't stop tying them because the idea of stopping was terrifying. Nonetheless, rumors and wild speculations about the case persist, and it has turned almost into an urban legend at this point, even after 30 years. And that's it.
That is, to be completely honest, that was in one of the books that I read, and I almost considered doing it for an episode and did not, because it's so weird and creepy.
Yeah.
It's like, hard to put a finger on why it's so strange. I think it is, it's the idea of, like,
the abrupt appearance of so many ropes.
Yeah, like, the idea that you could be walking through an area, you could see something, and just minutes later turn around and things have changed without you seeing or noticing. And I think I agree that the decision to not just, like, not follow up on the episode, but to act as if it never aired is a bit peculiar. I would understand to an extent if the motivation was, like,
to protect her.
To protect her identity, to keep people from bugging her. But I think all they would have had to do was say, like, our investigation produced information that leads us to believe that we, you know, might be infringing on someone's privacy and we need to, or something along those lines, like, to protect someone's identity, we're, you know, going to cease production on this episode. Or something.
Or, like, give, like, kind of a summary, like, we found the person tying the ropes, and it's, like, not a crazy thing, and we're just not going to follow it up, because it's not really a mystery. Like, just something like that.
Right.
That was very unprofessional, the way I just said it, but something like that.
Yeah.
Like, the case has been solved. Don't worry about it. Something like that.
Right. But to, like, not to give some kind of even, like, loose closure to the case, and to go the step further to pretend, like, it never aired. Like, what are you talking about? Tied ropes? What, like, episode are you talking about?
Yeah, and then that in and of itself, like, lost media
is
a whole thing.
Yes.
And people finding lost media is a whole thing. And, I mean, kind of like the graveyard for, or grave robbing for dummies?
Morons. Idiots.
I can't even remember what it's called now. But the episode we did.
Yes. I think it was Morons, wasn't it?
Morons.
Grave robbing for morons.
There we go.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think, like, it's still really weird. There's something really unnerving about that case. I think I ultimately also chose not to report on it for our show because it didn't have any kind of satisfactory conclusion. And, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of these stories don't. We cover a lot of, like, ghost stories or, like, well, this thing's just a weird thing. Like,
Yeah.
Here you go. Like, but something about the nature of this one, I just was like, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. And you would think if that was the case, why did they even air it to begin with?
Yeah, if it was that upsetting and they decided not to pursue it, why would you go ahead and air the episode?
Yeah, just, I don't know. Just pull it from air and like do a rerun that week while you shoot a new episode or something.
Right.
I don't know.
A lot of questions.
I really liked that. Thank you. I'm really glad you brought that into the show.
Well, thanks to the Reddit user who I mentioned before, because I totally just stole their post. But, you know.
Sometimes that's what this show is.
We're curators.
Yes.
I think that's it.
That's it. Yeah, that was a nice, quick, short, and easy one. As always, you can find us on social media, XIII Club, or the XIII Club, on Twitter or Instagram.
You can find everything, including links, pictures, more details on things we've covered by going to xiiiclub.com. And you can find all of our social media there. You can find our Ko-Fi there. It is your hub to finding everything that we have.
Yes, definitely. Just check the website first. That's always the easiest thing to do. And also feel free to reach out to us through email, which is also on our website, if you've got any requests or things that you'd like to share with us.
Yeah.
All right.
So thanks for listening, guys. We will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
I guess speak to you next week.
You'll hear from us next week.
Yeah, we'll be there. All right. Bye.
Bye.